Four Midwest Guys presents Summer Slam Reaction.
Welcome to Four Midwest Guys Presents SummerSlam Reactions, a very special podcast. We just got done watching SummerSlam. We thought it was just be a good idea to kind of go match by match and just kind of give our thoughts and opinions on what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like, what was awesome, what sucked, etc. With me tonight is John Z.
You.
And Brian B.
What up?
All right, boys. Well, we got a lot of matches to cover. There was 10 four-hour event, so we'll get right into it. John, you wrote down all for every match. I was kind of taking notes. So what was the first match?
I do believe that before we do anything, we have to make sure that we mention how we are sponsored by Mountain Dew throughout this event. That is a very important thing, and we all have our unopened bottles of Mountain Dew right in front of us right now as we record this.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yes, because they did not drink any of it. Except for Jerry Lawler, it looks like he maybe had a sip.
Which we will cover that in the commentary, too, as we cover our Mountain Dew watch throughout the show. Starting things off was Randy Orton versus Sheamus, where it was almost as if as Sheamus versus the audience and Randy Orton trying to gather our interest again.
Yeah, this was... We have a thing. We need to explain this. We call it the pizza match. And I think each of us will give our own opinions on what we think was the pizza match tonight. And the pizza match is where you get up and you get your pizza because the match is pretty boring.
Yeah, so boring, but you're going to get your pizza.
I have to say, of all the matches we heard, I think this might have been the pizza match. And that's pretty sad considering you had Sheamus versus Orton. I don't know. I'm going to give it my pizza match for the night anyway. I don't know about what you guys
thought. Yeah, Sheamus pretty much, I mean... He's normally a guy that doesn't mind getting into, like, audience reaction, but this time he really seemed like he was just fighting the audience the whole time. Like, he didn't care how they were reacting, and Orton seemed to be pretty much trying to do anything he could to try to get anyone's interest in what was going on again. So it was a rivalry that kind of had a very awkward turn tonight. So, yeah, it just got to give Orton some credit for it, trying to get some of the energy going again, but man, Sheamus really dropped the ball on this one. It was just, if it failed, it was because of him.
Yeah, I love Orton, I love Sheamus, but it just, there was nothing special about this match. It's nothing we haven't seen before. Not much originality in the moves. I didn't see anything special, you know, compared to some of the other matches we saw tonight. We saw some very new moves, or maybe some a new twist on an old move. This was pretty straightforward. This was your...
Well, we did get our standard RKO out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere.
Yeah,
towards the end.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. What'd you think, Brian?
Well, I haven't watched wrestling in a long time.
Right.
So this is all new for me, for this pair.
Right.
But I agree, it was definitely a pizza match. There was nothing spectacular about it. Even when you thought it was going to get, like, interesting,
yeah,
it just kind of fizzled out, and they just kept going. And
right. Yeah, I agree. Johnny, anything else?
That's about it. And just moving on from there, we got to be reminded of DraftKings with Zach and Cody. The sweet draft with Zach and Cody is a thing on the WWE Network.
Mm.
And quickly following that little promo was the fatal four-way tag team match in which the rules just kind of seemed to make themselves up, and it just kind of got really awkward really fast.
Yeah, this had more of a battle royal feel than it did the tag team match, but when you have four tag teams in there and you have two starting off and anybody can tag anybody else, it gets a little crazy.
Right, but what I didn't understand was how is it that the same team can be tagged in for two different opponents? So actually, New Day actually wanted to tag them, like pin themselves to win the title.
Yeah, at one point they were trying to do that. I think, I don't know if that was part of the plan to try to show they found some loophole or something.
That may have been the moment I think we all kind of checked out with how that match went down. I mean, the sad thing is, it's a very interesting. There are some interesting groups. Los Matadores are fun to watch. The Libre group was really energetic and very entertaining. Primetime Players, of course, are cool. But then, of course, we have our walking stereotypes. The New Day, who ended up winning, but they simply embraced their stereotypes to make us hate them. So it's kind of very awkward to watch how the creative team's been developing them as characters, because that's kind of a bad choice to just say, hey, we're going to allow you to show off your new boots and get on everybody about where rap music started, and then just, wow, we're going to hate you for that. I mean, that's... Well, then again, this is also the show that allowed us to hate a Bulgarian pretending to be a Russian who then became a Bulgarian again, so it's
That's wrestling, right?
Exactly. So there's a lot of confused heritage there.
If there's ever been...
Bad. Yeah.
We went from having the Shield, an elite three-man group, to New Day as our new three-man group, and they might as well just be polar opposites. It's like they may be the worst three-man group I've ever seen.
With our annoying little Kevin Hart in the middle.
Yeah, it's just not working. I thought Big E was better on his own. I thought Kofi was much better on his own. And
And it's just a failure of like how the creative team is like developing them as characters. It's just simply, it's just bad choices, because they could do so well, but they're just,
and they keep pushing it too. It's like I don't know why they're trying to give this so much time, so much energy, so much thought, but they are definitely annoying. I don't know, Brian, since you've never really seen them before, what was your first opinion of New Day?
Oh no, that's exactly. I had the same opinion everybody else did. I was like, these people suck. Like, but you could tell, like, they seemed like they knew moves and they were athletic. But, you know, the storyline or the way their character was written, and it was really impeding the way that they performed.
Okay, moving on. Oh, do you have anything else?
I was just going to say, as far as the match, there were some pretty cool moves in there, some individual moves. I would have loved to seen it more in maybe a tag team versus a tag team rather than the chaos of a fatal four-way.
Of a tag team.
A lot of energy, a lot of excitement, but not a lot of focus or direction.
Right. I think we actually, like, we had a very interesting concept in which somebody actually brought up having, like, kind of a jump zone all trampolines match.
Yeah, I think that would be
like
very
a very
cool.
interesting way to promote it.
Yeah, because then you could really have some high flying acts.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be like the Death Race 2000 or Rollerball future of sports entertainment right there.
Two tag teams enter, one tag team leaves,
but with fun on the trampolines. Moving on, we had a match that started out with a nice feud and ended up going absolutely nowhere. Our Rusev. Our Rusev versus Ziggler match, which ended in a double countout, and nothing pretty much progressed, so it was a lot of hype and ended up in nothing.
Yeah, this was pretty much a setup for the next pay-per-view. You can tell they're going to do. They've been training Lana slowly. She just wasn't ready yet to wrestle, probably, for SummerSlam, so they just, you know, they're giving her more time.
Oh, and they actually had to, like, bring out her in her acid wash new look.
Right.
The Dragon Ball Z logo. Yeah. Or wait, the Dolph Ziggler logo.
Super Saiyan look. I thought it was, it's just, they're just setting it up for the next match. Really kind of a time waster, too. There was another candidate for a pizza match. This would probably be my second choice. Brian was
I agree. You know, I think this was my pizza match.
This was your pizza match?
Yeah. The outfits were probably the best part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
what's her name?
Summer Rae's red sparkling thing.
Red dress.
Yeah. There's no place like home.
It was...
Dorothy shoes on the dress now.
Right.
Yeah, it was... I didn't care for that match at all. I thought it could have been done a lot better. It seemed like both wrestlers could have done a whole lot more, but they were so focused on bringing in the girls.
Right. Yeah, right. And that's a terrible, terrible thing. I mean, Rusev is normally an interesting heel to watch. Well, okay. He has occasionally been an interesting heel to watch, and Ziggler is an amazing athlete to watch. And the two of them together should have played off each other very well. But, yeah, like you said, trying to bring the women in just made it a boring rivalry.
And I don't know, I don't have much room to talk here, but is it just me, or is Rusev becoming a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade float? The boy has put on some serious weight. He doesn't even look good anymore. Before, he was kind of hefty and muscular. Now he's just becoming like a blob out there. I don't know if that's... I don't know.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. I don't think the Kevin Owens match has started yet.
But he did. I mean, he has the trunks that he pulls over the top of his gut, and now his gut is like... Before, it kind of held him back, and now...
Again, really excited to see the Kevin Owens match, it sounds like.
Not at all. I was looking at it tonight, and I was like, he just looks bad. I mean, he doesn't even... I don't know, because he got injured, and he just started putting on that weight or whatever.
Which is funny, because Ziggler had the most recent injury, and now you got Rusev is like the one...
He's just... I don't know. Brian, what'd you think? Anything else to add?
I have nothing else to add to that one.
Okay, John, next.
Yeah, well, apparently my next note is by the end of that is when we began to notice the Mountain Dew the advertisements. They were a little subtle, but I think if you noticed, they were starting to hint that there was a sponsorship there. So it kind of came through pretty subtly. But and then following that is when we had our Stardust and Barrett versus Neville and Stephen Armel, also known as the Green Arrow. This was actually pretty surprising, considering that it featured a non-wrestler, and for a good portion of it actually competed, as opposed to previous matches we've seen where the person tags in, does a cartwheel, and tags out and leaves it to the other guy for however long. But got to give credit to Stephen Armel. He took his lumps. He stayed in there a long time. He pulled off some interesting moves, and
we kind of carried
his own.
We kind of saw a preview of it in the last Raw, because he kind of jumped into the ring, and he really jumped into the ring tonight, and he kind of held his own. You know, he still looked rusty, but, I mean, for an actor, right?
I mean, from going from zero to this, I mean, if that's considered rusty, then that's pretty good.
And I know you're a big Arrow fan, Brian.
Yeah, he looked better than some of the wrestlers out there tonight.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, some of the wrestlers who have obviously been there a while and done stuff, he looked better than them.
And also coming off of Rusev, I mean, it's not a comparison.
Yeah, exactly. he sold very well.
Yeah, he did.
And he got to use a couple of his, you know, his moves or little leg kicks or whatever, and, you know, caught some people by surprise. But for those who watch Arrow or have seen, like, or are fans of him on Facebook and watched his workout stuff, you knew that this was coming, because his workout routine is ridiculous, and his stunts, majority of his stunt work on Green Arrow is done by himself.
So those leg kicks, those are the opposite of his arm kicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, the only criticism I had of the Stephen, I'm sorry, I'm not as
familiar.
Amel. The only criticism I had was the attire they put the guy in. He looked like he kind of looked like the Job Squad guy, but
outfit, yeah.
Yeah, but
he walked in with that hood.
The hood was cool.
Then he took it off.
Yeah, and then he took it off.
You expected to see Seth Rollins there for a minute, but then you saw shorter hair.
Yeah, he got like short hair and like really long baggy trunks and really cheap looking shoes with padding on them. It just didn't look real good. But performance was amazing, though. I thought. Very well done by Cody Rhodes, a.k.a. Stardust.
Pretty big highlight for the show, actually.
Yeah.
And then following such a highlight goes into my candidate for the pizza match, the Ryback Big Show Miz match, where I can't really comment on it because I got so bored I actually decided to show off my house to somebody that just popped in for the first time. I was... so bored.
You didn't miss much.
I probably got the feeling I did.
You didn't miss much?
I did not miss much, no. When Big Show took his minute and a half to walk straight to the ring and, like, stopped and looked like he was winning, like, oh, God, that's the pace for this entire match. I don't care. I really don't.
I've always had a problem with Ryback, probably because I'm a big Goldberg fan, and they keep trying to make him into Goldberg, and he's not. He's talented, don't get me wrong. He's not, you know, they keep trying to make him into the Goldberg character. It's just not working. He's better off doing his own thing, which lately they have been doing, but still. So never been a big fan of Ryback. I guess I'm a little prejudiced from my perspective. Big Show is well past his prime, and it shows. He doesn't really put a whole lot of effort into it anymore, I guess. I don't know, Brian, what was your, I guess, from the newbie? I know you've seen, you remember Giant back in the day.
I've seen Big Show, seen Giant. you know, I've seen The Miz on The Real World.
Well, you haven't seen his, what was it, The Marine 4 that he keeps talking about that he was in?
Oh, yeah, it was direct to DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah. This is the Hollywood Miz.
Yeah, no, I don't know, it was the first time I've ever seen Ray back. But that's exactly who I thought it was Goldberg, and you could tell that's who he was
trying to emulate.
I mean, even a lot of his moves, you know, when he tries to get pumped up, he does the same kind of stuff that Goldberg was doing. It's like, you know, play the Birchie character here. You know, the machine that is spitting out these characters or keep using up Goldberg and everything else, trying to repeat the same
the
success.
WWE creative team.
Yeah, you know. I didn't care for the match. I think, like John said, it definitely could have been a pizza match.
Mm-hmm. It's a show off your apartment / house match.
Yeah,
what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Go do something else.
Right.
Yeah.
And following up that is the again another Wyatt rivalry that ends in complete boredom and pointlessness, which is what I'm becoming used to with Bray Wyatt. But not to take anything away from the match, the Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose reteam to take on Fear.com. I mean Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper.
Will they please quit calling him the new face of Fear?
No,
he is not the Undertaker's replacement. He's got his own thing going. Yeah, he's the crazy hillbilly in the woods. / Helter Skelter. I can't think of the guy's name right now, but yeah,
pick something because it's so generic.
That's fine.
Almost
that's fine, but you know, to make him into something more, I don't know. But that's just my character critique. As far as the match, yeah, it was good. As far as energy,
the energy was intense in that. Like the way it started out was amazing.
Yeah, I really liked. I'm not too much of a fan of.
Roman Reigns.
Yeah. But even Roman Reigns had you know, a few good Superman punches. I do like that move.
Despite the fact that he was sleeping throughout half the match, according to the audience.
That was hilarious. They kept, if you, spoiler
Roman
alert, this whole
sleeping.
Thing. Yeah.
Roman sleeping.
All throughout, like, he was down on the mat for a while, and everybody's like,
because
yeah,
he got, like, one clothesline over the table, and it just disappears for five minutes while, like, Dean Ambrose takes, like, the brunt of everything.
Right, so.
Who is becoming like the rise outs. They were trying to, you could tell the creative team was trying to push Roman Reigns for a long time. Like, he's the new big thing, but Ambrose has clearly stepped up his game.
Yeah, his character is better developed. I don't know, Brian, what'd you think on this one?
I liked Ambrose.
Yeah.
And I liked Reigns, but I, you know, from the stuff that I've heard and read, Reigns is not a mic guy.
Yeah.
he could be the mute.
Yeah, of the group.
The mute of the group and be 100% better. But yeah, I was laughing hysterically at the part where...
So almost the Bershi.
Yeah, the fans were chanting, Roman sleeping. Oh my goodness.
They called him out on it. It was great, really. It was great, awesome by the crowd, whoever started that chant. I don't know who you are out there, but excellent job.
Yeah, I'll say this, like, if this is... I can't remember which WrestleMania it was, but a couple years ago, there was... It was like the most dull WrestleMania crowd ever, and then like the next day on Monday Night Raw they were in New Jersey and it was the most insane crowd you have ever seen. Like, they just out of nowhere started chanting for like JBL and like just random people out of nowhere.
Is that the one that they were doing the wave at, right?
Yeah,
they were doing
the wave.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like,
it was
like halfway through a match, like, people were looking around going, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. Even the wrestlers stopped and was looking around. They're like, this is cool. But
I honestly hope to see that tomorrow night. That would just make my day.
But yeah, overall, good match, good intensity. Again, you know, Bray Wyatt, the whole Wyatt family thing. Yeah, if they need to go a little darker or something if they want to make it more scary. I don't know.
Bray Wyatt is honestly just I see him pop up and I just get bored because I know it's a storyline that's going to go absolutely nowhere. It's like a speed bump for characters to put him up against Bray Wyatt or have a feud with the Wyatt family, because it just it ends so quickly and goes nowhere because he keeps saying, like, oh, I'm the face of fear, I pop out of nowhere, I make my cryptic little videos with the overhead light, and then I come out to a bunch of WWE fans trying to remove the app from their phone as they, like, hold it up in the air. But, no, he's not an interesting character to watch.
He's just not a good wrestler.
And
mean,
that, too.
I'll be honest, Sister Abigail, okay, yeah, you can take somebody and you flip them over real quick. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Big deal.
Whoopee.
All right.
Or you crab walk across the ring. Right, you remind me of a 13-year-old girl from a 70s film. That's a brilliant thing to remind me of when I'm watching wrestling.
Yeah, they could do better,
yeah,
in my opinion. But,
continuing on with our Mountain Dew watch, it is 2 hours into SummerSlam, and the commentators have yet to open their bottles of Mountain Dew, but are clearly advertising it as you see the giant shot right in front of them. Which brings us to our title versus title match with Seth Rollins and John Cena.
Yeah, that pretty much says it. Silence.
I actually like that match.
That may have been my favorite match of the night.
Really?
Really?
I liked it. I guess I liked Rollins in it, but I didn't really care for Cena in it.
No, I didn't really care for Cena, but I never cared for Cena before.
No. I used to. That's the thing. You know, I don't know why.
Well, because his flaws, just like the more and more they became revealed, the more you realize just how
one-dimensional he is in wrestling.
Yeah, it's not a character to really just get behind. I mean, he's boring. He has his five moves. He has his AA.
Yeah.
He has his STFU. He kicks out of everything like he's the Terminator getting up from the tanker truck fire. You know, you just can't kill him. Yeah, that's the thing. Ooh, you can't pin him.
I think he would do better if he could learn how to play off the audience a little bit better. He's trying.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what made Hogan so great was he could feel the crowd out and he knew exactly how to play and build you up and build up your intensity. And he knew exactly what, you know, he'd measure the crowd every night, and then he would play towards the crowd, and he'd play with the crowd, and he'd get the crowd involved. Here, now you just got, let's go Cena, and Cena sucks, back and forth.
Not forget that the audience actually gave his theme lyrics.
Right.
You know?
John Cena sucks. John Cena sucks.
Or there's the new one now, where they actually took the new, where we heard tonight, where they took the New Day, and Cena sucks.
No more New Day talk. I can't take it.
We will keep hearing that throughout the show, probably.
Ugh.
But what? And we have Seth Rollins coming out in his white Power Ranger outfit
/ wannabe Stormtrooper outfit,
and Cena coming out as a sponsorship for Tang.
Yeah. What's up with the University of Miami colors?
It was the Miami Hurricane colors.
Yeah.
Our resident Miami viewer was none too pleased when she saw that.
You mean your wife?
Yes. Yes. I speak for that.
Yes.
And by that, I mean my wife. Love you.
Oh, you suck up. All right.
I heard of my wife.
John,
I'm like,
John Z sucks. John Z sucks.
What? We don't know. just kidding, John. Brian, what do you think? I mean, overall?
No, I really liked that match.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, he was very energetic. He pulled off his moves very well. Even when John Cena would blow what he was supposed to be doing, like there was one, what's her name, Warren, the girl sitting next to me?
Yeah.
Okay, so she said something while we're watching, and she says, how did he just fall down? I say, oh, John Cena blew a move, and Seth Rollins decided to go ahead and show
it
because that's
it,
the way that he wanted to sell it, because that's the way it was scripted.
Right.
And she's like, oh, okay, because John Cena completely missed whatever move we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then Seth Rollins realized that he missed it completely and just kind of, oh, my head, and kind of fell over like he was supposed to.
Yeah.
That's the sign of a good wrestler, like a good, like he knows the script, he knows what he's supposed to be doing to make the other wrestler look somewhat decent. So I'm going to guess the people in the crowd who were far enough away couldn't tell that he missed, but those of us watching on TV.
I get the feeling no matter how far away you were, you could probably still see that John Cena would probably miss it.
I mean, it was pretty bad. We watched it here, but I mean, I would hope that the people on the upper deck probably didn't see.
Right.
You know, they're like, ooh, look at that, look at him go.
And I think that's I gotta say, it's Rollins the Gray emerging as Rollins the White, and that is it. I mean, Cena botched so many moves, and then Rollins was just had everything in his arsenal, came up with new stuff, and just he carried a match within two people, and that's honestly, yeah. I'm fine with that. He did great.
I was fine with it. Just do me a favor, Rollins, go back to the black. The white sucks. You look like a BG decided to have sex with a Power Ranger. Yeah.
But I couldn't make my awesome token reference if he wasn't wearing that. And, of course, we cannot talk about that match without talking about Jon Stewart.
Yeah. So, Mr. Stewart, the host tonight, by the way, his first hosting job outside of The Daily Show. Spoiler alert out there for you guys. This whole thing's a spoiler alert, by the way. And I'll make sure I'll put that in. You know, we'll do our little spoiler alert after. I'll put that in afterwards. But in post. Just FYI for you, Mr. Stewart decides to get involved in the match and brings a chair to the ring and keeps going back and forth whether he's going to hit Rollins, he's going to hit Cena, is he going to hit Rollins, is he going to hit Cena? And all of a sudden, he takes the chair and he takes it to the gut of Cena.
And then leaves it in there for Rollins to pedigree.
To a huge ovation, might I add, to the entire...
Right, I think it was
to the crowd.
He's a huge wrestling fan, and I think he knew he was playing off earlier when who the crowd wanted, and he was like,
yeah,
okay.
So
at
the beginning of the show, he was trying to measure, you're right.
Yeah, so he definitely, you know, he was like, I'm going to hit Cena. I'm gonna be the wrestling fan. I'm going to try to boost... You're the other guy.
Actually, I think it might have just been Jon Stewart's way of showing how much he loves New York, because it was also their way of saying how much New York really was not a fan of Cena.
Yeah, indeed. Yes. So it's a little controversy there at the end, and the Rollins to get the win. So
Mountain Dew Watch continues as the levels of liquid in the bottles of the commentators still remain at the same level, and yet we still are plugging Mountain Dew as the way to enjoy SummerSlam all the more. Which brings us to our Divas elimination match.
Better. A lot better than it's been, than Diva matches have been in the past. A lot of energy, excitement, different moves, different. Maybe it's because it's different people, new people involved.
Or in the case of Nikki Bella, we kept seeing the exact same move on replay with the Alabama Slam, but it's a page about God knows how many times.
I think it was like seven.
Because that's the only thing she can do. She is becoming like her boyfriend John Cena and can only pull out two or three moves from her arsenal.
Well, you know, she's got other assets that keep her afloat. So,
And by that, we mean she has huge boob implants.
Which I'm not complaining about. But, overall, though, I mean, compared to other Divas matches, pretty, at least a little, it was different, exciting.
We finally have some athleticism, which we haven't seen since the era that Beth Phoenix left, which it's been about, 2007, 2008. How long has that been?
I'm not sure when she left, to be honest.
It's been a dry patch of wrestling for a long time. It's been a bad time for divas. And to be fair, I mean, even calling them divas and looking at a belt, which is, if you want to showcase how strong women are, get rid of that stupid belt right now. It's a butterfly, for God's sakes. An insect that if you put one finger on it, it dies. It's like, if you want to show how strong your women are, get rid of that stupid effing belt right now.
I don't care about the belt. They can fight over whatever, I you know. But I don't know, Brian, you know, it's the first time you've seen a Divas match in quite a while. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, It was nice to see all the girls out there. I didn't really care too much for Team Edward. I mean, Team Bella.
Who has the personality of a Twilight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was Ric Flair's daughter. She did impress. I think she did really well. Her whole team did really well. Who's the girl with the red hair?
Becky.
Yeah, she's got
she's like the steampunk, which I really kind of
that whole group there.
Scottish steampunk girl.
That whole group there, they look like they could... little more of a high flyer. Can actually, you know, do a little bit as opposed to just go out there and just throw someone down to the mat, you know, claw at their eyes a little bit.
Here's our slap fight. Here's our glam move.
Hey, look how far
we can stretch or backflip.
Exactly. I mean, they look like they grew up wrestling fans, yeah.
And they grew up in wrestling families.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really actually, I didn't mind that match. I was glad to see Team Bad get knocked out early because I thought none of them could do anything.
Yeah,
I still say Sasha has some talent, then.
Even what's her name, Snuka Fly's daughter.
Tamina.
Tamina, she's I think they underutilize her. I think she could be the real powerhouse.
She could,
boss of the group, but
WWE doesn't like to doesn't do that. They keep their women within a very strict 10-pound regimen between each other. Right. Only Nikki's implants can throw off that weight limit.
Well, I just think they're really she's physically just huge. So why not use that?
I grew up watching WWE when they would actually have women's matches that they would be sometimes over 100-pound limit off away from each other, and it was still incredibly competitive and exciting. So hey, you utilize what you have, WWE. Let Tamina do her thing.
Yeah, I think they could
bring back Karma and Beth Phoenix.
Could really, really, really underutilizing her. So definitely something to think about.
So, continuing on, Jerry Lawler refuses to drink Mountain Dew because of fear that he doesn't want another heart attack, which is a good choice on Lawler's part.
Yeah. Again, Lawler didn't say that. That was my comment.
That was your comment. I had to write that one down because that was a very good one.
Because he had only, by this point, I think maybe a sip was taken out, and then they put the cap back, or they just took the cap off and put the cap back on.
I think that's what happened. I think they took the cap off, poured a little bit of it out, and then put the cap back on so it looked like he was drinking it because...
Oh, that's what happened. He accidentally spilled after, like, Ambrose got thrown, or when Rollins went to go fall asleep over the table.
There you go. So, yeah, I mean, not really real good. I mean, if you're really paying attention, most people probably weren't, but we kind of were just because we caught our eye tonight.
Great continuity.
Not very good publicity for Mountain Dew.
Not good product placement.
Yeah.
Our commentators will not drink your product, but please buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, they start out the show with Kickstart.
Right.
At the little announcer's table there, when the countdown, the SummerSlam, and all the none of the cans of Kickstart was even they were even open. They were all still closed.
Yeah. In fact, I would say just kind of wrap it up. I mean, I think you would even point out at one point they had a water bottle open and looked like it had been drunken out of them.
Yes.
None of the Mountain Dew was drank out of them. So.
Go figure the athletes would be drinking water over the soda option.
Right, so there you go. John, what moves on to the next match?
All right, we got into the Cesaro versus Kevin Owens match, which himself coming off of a loss at NXT that tried to regain the title belt. And... actually suffered some pretty severe injuries and had to wrestle again for another pretty intense match against Cesaro the very next day.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, for a guy who looks like he's completely out of shape, he's pretty nimble and he puts off some pretty interesting, innovative, and exciting moves.
The one off the top rope was...
Yeah,
that was pretty crazy. Impressive. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was crazy.
He was pretty nimble for a big guy.
Yeah, even the way he throws people up in the air for his powerbomb finisher can't be easy, even with another guy's help. I mean, you know, so kudos to Kevin, even despite the guy may look like Bluto off of Popeye, but he knows how to wrestle. It's evident. He's definitely going to be a rising superstar, in my opinion. In the WWE, so.
And for his rivalry he's been having with Cesaro as of late, I mean, Cesaro's no slouch. I mean, and he's been like the matches that Owens and Cesaro have been having on Raw and SmackDown have been they've been some of the highlights that WWE has had like the past couple months. I mean, the athleticism that both of them showed off. I mean, that may be up there with the Rollins versus Cena match. It may actually. I mean, I don't know. Kind of torn as to which of those two are one of my favorites, but you knew that it's essentially building up to what is the match of the night, which is the long-awaited rematch of Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker.
This was a good match. Despite the ending, which we'll get to in a minute, but I thought it lived up to its hype. For some people, maybe it didn't.
I would say I was 90% there.
Yeah.
90% of that match is awesome.
Awesome.
The 10% was the ending, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly the way that match went.
And again, spoiler alert, like I said, whole thing's a spoiler alert, but yeah, at the end, it kind of ends, and showing Taker tapping out, and the timekeeper rings the bell. The referee doesn't see it. Says, "Oh, I didn't ring the bell. Restart the match." And they
yeah,
do.
Lesnar's got Taker locked up in the Kimura lock. Taker on one side is tapping out. Heyman sees it. The entire like opposite side of the audience sees it. The timekeeper sees it. And by the timekeeper seeing it, he rings the bell. But because the referee went to the other side to check to make sure if Lesnar's shoulders were down, doesn't call it and is going for the pin instead, so he calls for the match to continue, allowing Undertaker to get a low blow and basically putting him in that
Hell's Gate
lock, yeah. And Lesnar having the most beautiful reaction right in Undertaker's face.
It was hilarious because instead of tapping out, he gave him the old finger and passed out, and Taker wins. So, yeah, a very good match in my opinion.
Except for that terrible ending.
Except for the ending. And I got a feeling I don't see this going over to the next pay-per-view. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll surprise the heck out of me, but I really think this will probably somehow make its way till WrestleMania next year, or in 6 months. So, I don't know. So, but yeah, so what did you think, Brian?
Yeah, like I said, it was 90-10. I enjoyed the match. I even enjoyed the last part of the match where Brock Lesnar, you know, kind of gave him the finger and passed out instead of tapping out.
Right.
He's like, you know, it was almost like a kudos, you got me in the Hell's Gate, but I'm not tapping out of it. I'll pass out before I give up.
Before I give up, too.
Remaining the badass.
But I don't know. I've never really liked Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Even back, you know, when he first started, I really didn't like him. He didn't seem to have too many. There was no mic skills. He even attacked Undertaker before the match even started.
Right.
And then it was, you know, what suplex city bitch or whatever he said, and
right.
It was like
two suplexes before Undertaker decided to break that.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, okay, yeah. And it was just like.
We had like was we counted too. It was a total of 5 suplexes all the time. I mean, this was Suplex City did not really show off its resources in this.
I think it worked really well when he fought Cena a while back.
Yes.
And just turned him into a ragdoll. But yeah, since then it's really begun to lose its luster.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to make it his tag thing. And,
yeah, he really needs something else. He needed extra stuff. Don't get me wrong, he's very athletic and he's huge.
Right.
If he could get the mic skills or get some kind of like personality with him.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of the whole match, though, was when Undertaker had just knocked Lesnar down, and they're both laying on the mat.
Yeah.
And Lesnar got up and started laughing, and then Undertaker looked at him like a psycho laugh and just like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, like, I'm mocking.
That was pretty good.
That was hilarious. That was great.
There were a lot of great moments in that match. It's just, had it continued on that momentum, it would have been
great.
Like, probably a highlight of the year for WWE, but because they chose to end it the way they did, it just was, they thought they'd be satisfying both the fans, but in the end, they just... And both unhappy.
Like I said, I really hope they put it in the next pay-per-view, but I seriously doubt it. I think we're seeing WrestleMania. So,
could be.
All right, gentlemen, it's time for final thoughts. Okay, I'll throw it over to you, Brian. You watched wrestling.
Yeah, so final thoughts. I was disappointed with the lack of dismantling of all the announcing tables.
Only one.
Only one went down this year.
And the Spanish announce team keeps their table.
Yes.
It's sacrilege.
The product placement for Mountain Dew, that was pretty evident from the get-go. The fact that they weren't drinking it was really evident. But there are some bright spots that, you know, Seth Rollins, the way he wrestles, and a lot of the guys, you can tell they're going to have a good core. You know, how we had Hogan and Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior stuff. You can tell that this next generation is going to have their own core group of young, talented people. that are going to come through, and they're not going to be stuck with watching the really old wrestlers just go out there, and just because it's their name,
right.
You know, wrestling on name alone, they're actually wrestling on talent.
Talent.
So I really like that.
Excellent point, John.
Off of that, I mean, yeah, we definitely have talent, but at least it'd be great if they actually brought some stuff back from the stuff better. You know, look back and like, hey, where you were, you watched that Monday Night Raw when Stone Cold came out with the beer truck, or do you remember or when the squad got a septic tank, and X took over the control booth. I mean, we all remember those moments. It just needs to be good writing like that again, where you can actually get some writers that will create those pieces. But again, this is some of them shows that we've got the talent, that they've got the talent, and it's sure we've got some really three stars that can be on a fantastic show, and yeah, guys, get some ghost writers, get some go to like. You've got the Jackass team writing for WWE Network right now. Get some of your Swerve guys to write some great, funny moments, not just for your episode, but for your actual show, so that we can actually have something to make us more interesting. I mean, just like those, like, more of those moments, like enough of the backstage and enough of the Wyatt crypt crap. I mean, if you're going to give them something, I at least remember, what was it, the Brood or Viscera and, All their dark or whatever.
Right.
I mean, give them something. I mean, give them a story. Four characters for so long. For so long. I realize that they're in a story.
Yeah, and just kind of build off of that and to reiterate what Brian said, we seem to be in a time of transition. There's a lot of young, great talent coming up.
Except Big Show.
He's not young.
Some people are on the way out.
Yeah. So, you know, it's time. It is time for a little bit of attitude to come back. You have a WWE. You have a WWE Network now, which means you can create a WWE Network only based attitude show, and I think you could find a way to balance it with Raw, you know, and actually maybe just show clips and stuff and actually still keep the storylines going and keep your G-rated on air and actually have maybe an attitude adult or adult theme show on the network. And but overall, my feelings on the pay-per-view, not bad. You know, sometimes I used to, before I got the network for $9.99, there's your shameless plug, WWE.
$9.99. One more. Or a Mountain Dew for 99 cents.
Or 99 cents that we won't drink. other than that, you guys got me sidetracked with old Mountain Dew.
In the nines.
But yeah, you have this network. Like I said, there's been times when I buy a pay-per-view. When I used to buy the pay-per-views back in the day for $30, $40, $50. I would walk away going, I didn't get my money's worth at all. This sucks. You know, I got ripped off. No, I don't feel like that anymore, right? You know, so...
Because it's definitely worth $9.99, not $30.99.
Right. It not only is it cheaper, but, you know, there's... Now's the time, you know, we got the talent. Now let's get the writers, and let's really open this thing back up again, you know. I don't know if it'll ever be as good as the Monday Night Wars were.
Or even for, like, the 80s era.
Right. But...
It's just, that's the thing. It's a new era, and it needs to find its voice.
Yeah. And I tell you what, boys, let's just go around the room. I'll start off just closing real quick. I'll give this one about 8.5 on a scale of 1 to 10. Brian, what'd you think?
For my first pay per view back into watching wrestling, I haven't watched anything. I haven't watched Raw, nothing like that.
Mm.
My first one back in, I would say this is up there. This is definitely a springboard for me to continue to watch. I'm not going to come away from this saying I'm not watching wrestling anymore. This was just dumb.
Right.
There are some intriguing characters that I'd like to see play out. And I'm actually curious to see how my viewpoints are actually, if they're spot on with what they're trying to put on WWE, or if it's just because it's my first time seeing it, like the Seth Rollins thing. John's wife was so anti-Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
So watching him wrestle, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so good.
Right.
And... So I'm kind of curious to see how it plays out, because she said something about a statue or something on Monday.
Yeah, that was wild lines. Like, I'm so great, I need a statue right next to Bruno San Martino.
I see somebody smashing that over somebody's head.
Right, so I'm curious to see how that plays out, if he's, like, arrogant, and if I'm actually going to like the character.
Right.
Well, his character's a dick.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? Like so right now, from what I've seen on... I actually really like him.
You
like
him? Yeah.
But I'm curious to see if I start watching Raw and stuff like that, if I really like the character, I'm like, oh my god, I hate his character.
Yeah.
He's got really talent, but I hate his character. Kind of like Rey Mysterio Jr. back in the day.
Yeah.
I really hated that character, but he could wrestle.
Oh, yeah. No doubt without it. So what'd you think? Where would you put it on the old scale?
I would say 7.5, 8.
7.5, 8?
Yeah.
Okay. John?
Yeah, that's about fair for me. 8 for me, because I think we've ordered some SummerSlam and WrestleMania in the last 4 years. There've been some... there've been some very memorable moments. You'd see where the storylines are either ending or starting, or like they're in their transition stage, but this is one where it actually seemed like they were... They had some interesting places they were going with some of the stories. Some rivalries just put to an end. Fine. Whenever you give a Wyatt a rivalry, that's all I have to say. Just the Wyatt rivalry, and too quickly can go nowhere. Do something. If you're going to get them to wrestle, make them interesting. Make their characters interesting. Make them wrestle interesting. Just, you're going on atmosphere alone, and that's... It's becoming the Terrence Malick of wrestling. You can only have so much atmosphere.
Indeed. I think, overall, gentlemen, I think we all had a lot to say. I think we had a good time watching it, and we'll have to do another one of these again in the future. Little side note, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us at the number 4 Midwest Guys, at 4 Midwest Guys on Twitter, facebook.com/the number 4 Midwest Guys. As well as the number 4 Midwest Guys@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with our flagship show. We didn't have time with everything going on today to do a flagship show, but hopefully we'll be back next week to do that. And we might have another special coming down the road, something to do with movies. There's a little bit of a preview and a sneak preview for you coming down the road. So a lot going on here for Midwest Guys. Reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter. Email, whatever. We really want to hear from you. We really want to know how you think you sound, how we're doing, what we like, what you didn't like, what you want to hear in the future, what you might want us to talk about, maybe an entire show based on it. But we need to hear from you, and we'd love to hear from you. And so get out there, get online, and reach out to us. So, and we'll reach back politely. So with that in mind,
I'll give the reach around.
I'm sitting next to you at the moment, so I'm just gonna scoot over. And all right, so
I'm taking my Mountain Dew and scooting over.
I will take my unopened bottle of Mountain Dew and scooch a little closer.
I think I'm gonna start calling you Dirty Jonesy.
Yeah.
On behalf of Brian and Dirty Jonesy and me, B. Willie, it's been a pleasure having you with you. We'll catch you next time.
Adios.